Lost my heart and hope to die. If I ever, ever told a lie, feelings and guilty just said, choose a bad place when you're dead. Washington, he never lied.
Hello and welcome back to our podcast, but a fanfic of a fanfic that itself is a synthesis of Fallout, the popular game about a post-apocalyptic wasteland, and My Little Pony, a popular show about pastel horses. Hi, I'm Fine, joined once again with my co-host, Weird. Say hello, Weird.
No, not until you address me by my proper title, Sir Weirdington Esquire.
Yes. The glammiest, ritziest, rootinest, tootinest, jukeboxinest.
The only jukebox worthy of both being simultaneously a sir and an esquire.
Yes.
Though not a lord. We'll
not
see
yet.
About that in coming days.
Hey, yay, we're back again. Episode 38, chapter 43, I think is what we're on. This is one's going to be an interesting one, folks. We'll dive into it in a hot second, but first, Weird, you should tell us what we learned last week.
Now I remember, because last week, Somber did a good job, which I don't know how to feel about.
Same.
Somber roundly did a pretty good job, all told. Precious few complaints. So Blackjack has inexplicably decided to, like, abandon all of her friends, and travel alone, to a hell prison that has been long abandoned, across, a no man's land where, like, two armies, fought and defeated each other. And throughout this, last episode, she was hallucinating like mad, because mostly the lack of sleep. She meets a whole new crew of idiots. But thankfully, these guys are stripped down, like, straightforward.
It only takes one sentence to describe them, and not 80.
Yeah, a pyro who's working through their phobia. Batman, but what if fire?
Candle looks actually pretty cool, thinking about him.
Just a hillbilly Amazon, who what's too dumb to know how to get hurt, from injury, a flash filly, and really that's all there is to say about that. a retcon of a really bad faction.
Who has glitter in her hair, which that. I forgot to describe about her, and Lemongrass, who is just like part of the, like, trauma relief gang.
Okay.
The self-help gang.
Yeah, meets all of them, who pretty hilariously point out that the Reapers are garbage.
Yes. Like, hilariously garbage.
But are still just enough afraid of them to wind up gathering under the banner of a Reaper that shows up by the name of Blackjack.
Yep.
Fight some Zed Putty Patrollers, who are used as a framing device to explain all the new people in the crew. Go into the death camp, basically the concentration camp where the equestrians threw a bunch of zebras.
Yep.
Have some merry adventures there. Find out that, like, patient zero for the Jobber Plague, the Reaperitis. Their corpse was here, so that that's why some zebras happened to also be investigating the place at the same time. There's a misunderstanding fight, wherein we find out that Blackjack meets all of the qualities necessary for the zebra prophecy of the coming of the anti-horse.
The anti-horse. Yeah, she's horse Satan, basically. My little Baphomet waiting.
Then, just at the last moment, Hooftwaffen, Nazis from the sky descend to steal the prize. at the last moment. And along the way, Blackjack went murder berserk a couple times. And I think that's about it.
Pretty much. I think that covers most of the, like... that covers most of
and
the...
And I'm looking at my waveform, and I'm really worried because it looks very quiet, because I was staring at the ceiling as I was...
Yeah, just you know, I want to pull yourself in a little bit.
Fixed in editing.
Yeah, I'll just louden you. I'll increase loudness. I'll make the blue bar go up. But yeah, so I guess we should move on to chapter 43, Lucidity. So we open up on our chapter with Go Fish waking up in a hospital bed, bright and bushy tailed, blinking in confusion when she's addressed by her her like psychiatrist, her psych doctor, who's like. Like asking, is she feeling nice and lucid and aware today? BJ goes, oh, I'm not Go Fish. Call me Blackjack. And she's like, oh, we need to get you to stop saying that. And we get a big rundown. Basically, everything that has happened for the last couple of months has been one big giant stress hallucination. Apparently. Go Fish is a pre-war horse that, after a particularly traumatic event where she was violently raped by a gang of thugs on a boardwalk, she retreated into a complex fantasy world in which she's the hero and she's able to beat back her opponents and forgive her rapists and do all these amazing things and the entirety of the cast of the story up to this point has been like a giant. They've all been like, you know, that thing where like all of the like characters are all based off of people, like they're either like other patients in the asylum or
and you were there
and you were there.
And you were a dog that insisted it was a lion.
Yes. And like True Blood is just the person who like runs this facility. But yeah, so yeah, this entire story up to this point has been just a giant, like, psychotic meltdown from a schizophrenic who's like has another personality where she thinks she's Blackjack.
We've been down this rabbit hole before.
Yeah, been, but like for real this time.
This
isn't
the first time we've fucking done this. Like, sure. Cut to a decade later. You come back. Everybody's freaks and hates you even more. Uh huh. Uh huh. Yeah, no, that's I'm totally faked out. Fine, I'm completely immersed in this.
Yeah, that's our so it's the end of our story. Yay! This has all been one giant hallucination. None of this mattered. Absolutely nothing.
Oh, thank
mattered.
God! Like, yeah, I thought you really pranked me with that. Only the halfway point. Here's the whole fucking clinic was in a snow globe bit. Like, okay,
yep. We're free. Roll credits.
Fuck yeah! I have no need to even like plug the things. Like, tune in for like the trailer for our next podcast, I guess.
For whenever that'll
check,
be.
Check you kids out. When we come up with that, and like it'll show up on the feed.
Yep, we might be yelling about Dominic Deegan next week. That's been might be one of our plans for another podcast. So check that out. I've been Fi. This has been my co-host Weird. Do you want to play us out?
And this definitely has all been a terrible mistake.
Hello, and welcome back to our podcast, but a fanfic of a fanfic that itself is a synthesis between Fallout, a popular game out of post-apocalyptic wasteland, and My Little Pony, a popular show about pastel horses. Hi, I'm Fi, I'm joined once again with my co-host, Weird. Say hello, Weird.
See, did, I guess, hello, but the title is Sir Weirdington Esquire.
Yes. Yeah, we're back again, folks.
Last week, we ended the podcast because it was all over. It was, I mean, like it seemed odd to me because something exactly like this took place in a previous chapter, toward the end of book three, I think. But. Yeah, no, the show ended. Like the whole story ended on a fucking pull back. It was all inside of a snow globe.
Well, that's not exactly true, obviously, because this story is trite and garbage. So instead,
no, I really did have my hopes up.
So instead, because of the way we like did this, I will be giving a really brief recap of what happened last week, let's call it. Chapter 43 initially opens up with Blackjack being told that she is in a psych ward, and then that's very obviously fake, because why would the entire story exist up to this point, so who gives a shit? This is obviously fake. This is just that episode from Buffy. It gets cut with like interstitial bits of scotch tape being like violently attacked by Blackjack, and then eventually like BJ figures out that this is a farce, and like coincidentally the dealer also shows up, but he's like, you know, this is all a farce, right? And she's like, yeah, but I can't get out of it because it becomes pretty obvious that they're trapped inside of a simulation because the dealer can just hack into it because he's just a cyber clippy monster. So this whole fucking chapter was completely pointless, and that's the reason why I did it like this. It entirely could be skipped. It's just a trip through the Matrix. It's the entire chapter. It's Blackjack is trapped inside of a Lotus machine. She learns nothing. Escapes it through an improbable nonsense, fights an evil dark clone of herself, and like we're told she comes out more psychologically like cured than she was previously, but like really all this chapter boils down to is that like Blackjack realizes that she needs to like sleep, because without sleep her sleep deprived mind starts like turning her into a killer, because she also maybe have killed a child, which would matter more if like she didn't kill like a dozen, like 40 children at one point, and also like helped get a small child eviscerated through her own incompetence. But yeah, an entire chapter that can be completely skipped. I've been highlighting it for a long time. What are your thoughts, Weird?
You could have just been Act One of the chapter we're going to be discussing now.
Yeah, but it's a whole chapter. It's like 40. It's like 40 pages of chapter.
What an aggressive masturbation on the part of Somber, like, and also a real show, real display of weakness on the part of his so-called editors.
Yes, that they like, let this in, that like this entire thing was in.
He could have like just had like what 3-4 pages of, and you were there, and you were there. And yes, it turned out you were entirely crazy. Now, tell me about your delusions in such a way that would reveal sensitive information to...
Yes. But no, it's a whole chapter dedicated to her being in a Lotus Eater machine.
I'm sure Somber nutted real hard when his community, like, flipped their shit and argued for, like, a week or something. About how dumb like the sudden twist and effective end of the story they'd been following up to this point was.
Well, I can look at like the comments, because I'm looking at the actual page right now, and I can look at the comments. Most recent post: I am not high enough for this chapter.
No, it's the old ones that are gold, because like
one of
like,
them
newer
this...
ones know that there is so much more fucking pages like. Chapters to go, but like in real time.
So that's the thing, like, too, is this chapter doesn't even have the restraint to like make you feel like it was like this could have ever happened. This is, this whole thing is like unraveled pretty quickly, and this whole fucking chapter is pointless, which is why I just skipped it like this. But there's so many of the comments are arguing about like the secret genius of this particular chapter, because like, well, how else are we supposed to fix this damaged horse? She's so broken. Like, the only way that she could have gotten fixed is by going and like getting like psychiatric care, which like, this is such a horseshit.
This isn't psychiatric care. Like,
she's just,
this is such a video game notion of refilling the sanity bar.
Yeah.
Like,
she's plugged into an anti-crazy machine and then like forced to like work out her problems until she's fixed. But of course she's too crazy and it overloads the system, and she has to fight an evil version of herself for a while, which is just the evil version of Blackjack is just Blackjack. So like, I don't like, there's virtually no difference between the two of them.
My anger is done like a 180. It's come, like, I've like, I had a brief thought, like, I want to do violence to Somber, to like, no, but I do want him dead, just like very much, like,
I don't want to kill him, I just want him to die.
And to then beyond that, like, it's too much effort to even
even like send hate rays at his brain. But yeah, we're gonna launch into the actual chapter that we're talking about this week, right now. So if you enjoyed me fucking around with editing in some flavor, remember to like, comment, and subscribe, and tell me to never do it again if you hated it.
Oh gosh, about Fi's innate genius. This is a really strong meta twist.
It's
so clever.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
So clever.
I never wanted to skip something harder. But then I read chapter 44, and I wanted to skip this one even harder. I live tweeted this a little bit on my Discord like last night when I was reading through it. And I was just like, oh man, this is a double whammy of suck. Like, the last chapter is entirely skippable because of its irrelevancy, but this one just is uncomfortable and awful.
Man. All right. Well, let's get into it.
Okay. Yeah. Enough stalling aside. Chapter 44, Mares and Stallions, which a name like that can't be possibly good. In my sleep deprived state, I refer to this as the weird Harlequin romance chapter. So, we open with Blackjack reminiscing about the thing that happened in the last chapter, which we skipped, which doesn't matter. And thinking about how she basically killed a child, but like, we immediately find out, like, in a couple of chapters that she didn't kill that child, so this, like, angst is completely meaningless. Like, it's weird how toothless that is, given that, like, this story started off with Blackjack's incompetence helped eviscerate a child violently, and it's all written out in gory detail. And then we hit this one where Somber seems indecisive if he can even bother having this character be killed for drama or not.
Great.
But,
I don't know. Some kind of emotional growth on the part, like, I don't know.
But, like, it's still much weirder than that, because it's still, like, I killed the child. But then, like, it just runs it back later that they didn't.
It's hard to imagine that, like, doesn't she have enough on her plate that, like, whatever.
Yeah.
we'll
get to an eventual point where we can talk about the fact that this story, like, always moves forwards and never, like... Like, it's odd that, like, past traumas become irrelevant every time a new trauma happens. It's as if, like, that previous thing never occurred. But it's, like, it's odd. Like, it'll reference it, but it'll never have any weight in the story that it happened.
And Blackjack hangs out every day and, like, refuses to disavow, like, somebody who, like, is a baby murderaholic.
Yes.
Like, one of your like closest allies, like, will kill a baby if left unsupervised.
Yes.
Like, that's just something they do. Like,
it's a hobby. It's a pastime.
Well, really, it's, I mean, let's give as much care as we possibly can. It is framed as something of a tragic, if surreal, addiction. But, okay, so, alright. Things through the spoilers. So, in the meantime, I'm going to try and edit it from my brain. Oh no, she's haunted by having accidentally killed another baby.
She's up to 42 now.
How did this baby die again?
In a sleep deprived, mad, hallucinatory state, she like thought that this trio of babies was a. Oh, I guess she technically killed like think she killed three of them, but she thought that they were harbingers, and like was so like inebriated by her mental state that she didn't like hear them screaming at her that they were like not, and they were people that she knew. And then she just beat them to death and like then realized it and then like checked out by like getting trapped inside of a lotus eating machine in a psych ward that like apparently is just built to like put people in a hallucinatory state. And she breaks it by being too brain broken. Sorry.
Yeah,
Her brain is so evil it destroys the machine.
In the K-Fab, I'm a jukebox, so I can't make a jerk-off motion, but I'm...
We'll install arms can have jerk-off motion.
No, there's like, one of those, like, minimal pixel, like, graphic displays on my front, and that's making the...
But yeah, oh, man, this chapter sucks twice as hard as this, though, somehow. But anyways, she in her weird sleep deprived state, she's like spying on some harbingers that are getting wrecked behind her that have been chasing her, and she sees a cool zebra who does cool zebra kung fu to like martial arts to death a bunch of harbingers that are chasing after BJ, and he like tortures one of them and then like BJ like executes the guy to mercy kill him because like. The zebra will just torture him to death, I guess. And then, like, the zebra just, like, stares off into the darkness and just, like, knows that Blackjack is there somehow and just, like, calls her out and then he just leaves. And this is just foreshadowing for a later antagonist that I fucking despise. Meet the most inseparable bad guy. But, he just, like, is just spooky. Just a spooky zebra man who just walks away being a spooky zebra. Boy, this chapter's got so little that happens in it. BJ, like, is wandering around on, like, the mountain that's become very, like, vitally important to the landscape of the setting in terms of its description, because it keeps getting described. And admittedly, there's a kind of cool concept with this, where every time Blackjack stares at the mountain, it's very pointed in the narration that it's, like, every time she stares at it, like, the description is always this, it's an incredibly boring piece of rock that my eyes keep sliding off of. Like, it kind of repeats something to that similar phrase over and over again, to sort of, like, highlight that there's something off about this mountain, but she can't pin it, and, like, her brain just keeps, like, avoiding it, essentially, as a physical object. And that's reflected in the, like, the actual writing of the text, which is kind of cool and clever for once. But it's, like, a weird, crazy mountain that's, like, all made of, like, a black stone, and it's, like, a lot of it is weird hexagonal, like, rock pillars. It's very, very Lovecraftian in the way it's described. Like, it's very, very alien geometry. It spends a lot of emphasis on this, as Blackjack is wandering around. Because she, like, finds, like, forests of trees that are still kind of living, but they're, like, a weird, like, black tree with, like, weird tarry leaves. But none of that matters.
Piece of Lovecraft trivia, real quick.
Uh-huh.
Lovecraft insisted that he did not have the constitution for maths. And that is a big part of why he was so excited to describe unnatural angles. In spooky language, because he just literally didn't understand math. Lovecraft was so ignorant about math that he there's every reason to think that he didn't think that, like, intersection of, like, alien power was necessary to create an angle that, like, a person could fall through into unknown realms. That's, as far as he was concerned, that's just how math works.
Just imagine Lovecraft having stress dreams of numbers flying over his head. Like a cartoon. That's a fun bit of trivia. Oh, man, I don't want to talk this fucking chapter. Can I skip this, too? Can we just skip the rest of the podcast?
Nope.
Aww.
No, you fool. No.
But yeah, Blackjack finds a hot spring. There's a lot of time dedicated.
Okay, no, I take it back. Nope. Okay. Podcast out. We're like, I think... We don't have to do this. We can be doing anything else.
No, we gotta soldier on. But yeah, Blackjack finds a hot spring. There's a ton of time dedicated to talking about how cool a hot spring is.
Especially if she's alone. Why is she alone doing the hot springs? Wait, does she have like the cast of irregulars with her?
No, they all left.
They were just there for an ep?
It's just like the Bodisode.
They were the Bodisode.
Yes. It's because we have to keep making... We keep having to... Because the story is setting up for a ridiculous Naruto-esque, like, war arc, we need to meet a cast of colorful idiots that can show up in the final arc of the story. That's kind of why this is happening. So we keep needing, like, small gaggles.
If you want to do that, then why did he already burn down so much?
Because...
But then he took it back. Nothing matters.
Nothing matters.
Nothing.
Lotus Eater Machine.
Nothing.
We're just back in the
Project
goo.
Project Horizons never changes.
Anyways, she's in a hot spring.
Fuck.
And a lot of this, like, I'm not going to go into any graphic detail about her being in this hot spring, but she spends a lot of time thinking about her sex life, because of course she does, because it's just where we are right now in this story. And she thinks about all the dudes that she wants to sleep with, because she's like, she's basically like trying to like induce sex therapy on herself, because she wants to like get over being raped. And like her like plan to do this is to like fuck a dude and like get over it, basically.
Because hetero is the only relationship that like
really matters. Yes.
Yeah, I guess.
Yep.
Fucking.
She does spend a bunch of time
Did the magic sleep app machine like cure her gay as well? Is that
well? She just goes like well, I still love Glory, but I still like I love Glory, but I want to get rod by a dude. Like, is more or less her like mindset. Like,
but she doesn't like she's trying to figure out how to want to get rod by a dude. What? Remember, kids. Somber, queer ally.
Yes, noted LGBT plus ally. Somber. We're getting into we're gonna read the editor's notes for this week, and it's gonna be fucking hilarious.
I am not prepared.
You're not prepared for any of this. This just gets worse.
Man. I've had quite the character arc over the course of this fucking show, over the course of this podcast episode one. I'm ready. I've girded my loins. I'm ready. But now, man, like it's oh man.
You gotta speak up a little.
Oh man,
we're just not yet. You think you're ready? No one's ready for this. But
taking too many into the like. Houdini, man. Like Houdini had one part of his act was that he had so much fucking core strength that he could, if he was ready for it, like, soak most hits to the gut. And legend has it that he died because he was suffering from appendicitis. And some jackass on the street saw it was Houdini, knew about the, like, immune to gut checks trick, and sucker punched him, like, on the street.
The worst vibe check of all time.
Ruptured his appendix and killed him.
Oh, that's sad. We are just doing everything in our power to avoid this, aren't we?
Yes.
Anyways,
you bastard, you've caught me at my game.
But yeah, she ponders her sex life. She rattles off a bunch of dudes that she can like think of. Which of course, front and center is 21, even with their like horrifying, awful experiences. You're gonna want to vomit away from the mic. Yes, this story just forgets, I guess, about its own baggage about between these characters. Like, whatever, it goes, 21 forgave her, so I guess it's okay now. It's not woefully traumatic for both of them. And while she's thinking about this, she gets snuck up
on. I'm gonna sit here and, like,
die?
Guiltlessly fantasate. I'm gonna sit here. Speaking as the character Blackjack, I'm gonna sit here in this hot spring and guiltlessly fantasize about that gay guy I once raped.
Yes. That's a real thing that she actually thinks. But as she's sitting there thinking about these illicit thoughts, she gets snuck up on by a mysterious male who in outside of the context of this, because of the way that he's written and everything like that, I like this character. He just sucks right now because of the framing. But he shows up and he's all covered in blood and gore because he just killed an animal because for hunting or whatever. And Blackjack tries to strike up conversation with him and he seems to be like kind of mute. And there is a sequence that is kind of meant to be like kind of sexually charged, kind of cutesy, flirty stuff. But in context of this being the story it is, which is actually terrifying, where a unknown male shows up covered in blood and slips into this hot tub to like bathe himself off, and he doesn't speak a single fucking word while Blackjack is eyeing him up and down. If this wasn't like outside, like if you take the context of the setting as it's gone up to this point, is fucking scary as hell. But because Somber doesn't think like that. Like, doesn't think about the concept of, like, it would be terrifying to just have a dude, like, especially someone who's incredibly vulnerable in the case that Blackjack is now, when it comes to men.
Yeah, and not wearing their, like, kit. like in the most, like, compromised position you can be, in the bath.
Yes.
A dude waltzes up to, like, ruin the natural hot spring by
bathing in it, in blood? Yeah.
Yeah. By filling with gore? Great, asshole. And then you're gonna be, like, creepily taciturn?
Yes.
Like
it, that's the thing,
I'm
it's
just
like,
imagining, like...
It genuinely terrifying in the context of this. But because it's meant to be, like, what it is, it's all flirty, and he's, like, he's a hot dude, so, like, whatever. There's a lot of time spent fawning over how cute he looks.
I'm now just imagining any given, like, Harlequin romance novel,
basically.
But with, like, a Jason Voorhees mask over the, like, over the Fabio. Like.
Yes. Because he's a spooky bat pony. He has, instead of having, like the Pegasus wings that have, like, feathers, he has, like, bat wings. And he's, like almost completely black. And he's got, like, bat eyes and sharp teeth and funny-looking ears.
Okay, so Nosferatu.
not Nosferatu, hot vampire guy.
Soaks in, like, Max Schreck. Oh, hey. Hey there, good-looking. So come here often.
Yeah, basically. But after a little bit of time seeing this thing together, she like schoolgirl freaks out and tries to say hi and panically blushes and shit, and it's just like, it's like Blackjack's like a weird rapist killer. Why is she like this? Why did you write her like this in this chapter?
Oh, he's so mysterious.
But after a while, she like, you know, says hi to him, and he tries to say hi back, but he points to his mouth and tries to like indicate through pantomime. There's like a lot of like pantomime in this, which I will give credit. It's described adequately enough that a person reading it could understand what this character is trying to say, which is hard to do So I'm definitely going to give Somber some credit writing this chapter, in that having a character who can't speak is incredibly hard to write, and that...
My God, he is actually fucking... Jason Voorhees flicks like in all ways.
He's Jason Voorhees, but like, they tear his shirt open. And he's got like chiseled abs, and he's all oiled up.
A mute, buff horse Feratu. I think I now have to like
draw this man. Draw this boy.
I have to draw specifically like. Ooh, hot, like, I mean, look, okay, I've given Somber a lot of shit, but he might actually be a queer eye because he understands the queer's love for monster fucking.
I guess. So
is the only thing I can take away from this.
So like, probably not, given what I read from the editor's notes.
Oh, God damn it.
So you're giving him a little too much credit here, I feel.
I'm trying to be charitable.
Listen, I'm the guy that steel man Somber, and even I can't handle this. But yeah, he's got like a little chalkboard with like a little like with some chalk, and he writes out his name. His name's Stygius, and Stygius is a good boy. Like because of the tone of this chapter and all this shit, like he's terrifying in his early parts because of the bad. Like Somber doesn't understand framing at all in context.
I worry not. It is I, Slaughternax.
But he's a good boy. He is so aggressively idealized man candy. It's kind of hilarious. Like he is sweet, kind, considerate in literally all ways. And on top of that, he's like a fucking ripped Chadwell character. Like he's this absurd. He really is just a Harlequin romance protagonist. Like he's. But like I said.
A Harlequin romance protagonist for the modern age, because the dripping fangs and gnarled claws are also
and the bat wings and
for the millennial generation mandatory elements.
Yes,
in that list of features.
Yes, Stygius is the monster fuck boyfriend. Anyways, BJ's like, okay, you can't follow me. I'm gonna go do my own thing now. Thanks for hanging out. You're pretty hot. And he's like, he's also like trying to flirt with her as well via chalkboard and pantomime.
And then he pounces and tears out a jugular, but in a hot way.
Yeah, in a hot way. Careless Whisper is playing. But he insists that he wants to help her because he's some sort of honorable, chivalrous horse. But just then, another bat pony shows up, fights with him for a little while. Then he like communicates to her in like bat noises. Because like he can speak, but it's like bat ponies speak it at such a high frequency that normal people can't hear it. So he's just making squeaking noises.
That is precious.
Yeah, Stygius is a good boy.
I can't draw the fan art anymore because it's not funny. It's just true. It's just facts. like if I try to draw like a pastel horse like making goo goo eyes over this character, like all of the people I know, like all of the like people in my corner of the internet would just sort of nod and go, yes, this is correct.
This is accurate.
This is the appropriate response.
Yes. Yeah. So his twin shows up as he explains who she is. Her name's like Tenebrae or Tenebris or something like that. It's another like shadow associated Latin term thing. And he decides to follow her anyways, and his twin decides to relent up, and she flies away and fucks off. This is all foreshadowing for a thing that doesn't happen for a few chapters. But yeah, then we get hard cut to Blackjack explaining the entire plot up to this point. Genuinely, honestly, because of the way that this is being set up, if you didn't know what I knew about the story going forwards, you'd immediately assume that this is supposed to be Blackjack's love interest. Because he is a ridiculously like calm, considerate, loving, goofy, like romantic character, and he seems to just come out of fucking nowhere, so he just feels like just exists to be a love interest. But yeah, they wander around on the Black Mountain for a while. They see some more weird sights as she's filling him in on shit.
I'm actually kind of curious. I really wish I had known, like, I really wish you'd like written it specifically down, because I want to know what Somber thinks the plot summary of his own story is. Because I don't know.
Like, you mean of the entire story? Like, with the summary?
Like, yeah. Somber commissions himself in the story to recount the events so far. What does Somber think that is?
Oh, it's just
that fucking look like.
It's just Blackjack describing the things that have happened, like in a loose list, except for all the really really bad stuff.
No, I'm specifically curious as to what that list looks like. What is notably omitted? What seems to get
so peculiar, I can write down real quick because I just pulled up the page where it is. She's filling in the very end of the story where she's been cursed by Xanthe and the whole Star Maiden stuff. So like with the implication that she's fed up everything up to that point, she just omits like all the baby murder and stuff like that, and all of the, like a lot of the darker shit she did at 99 and stuff. So that's right. Your answer. It's the most utilitarian possible way of recapping to another character all the events that have happened so far. It's just in between scenes. But yeah, they eventually come up to what looks like a giant perfect spheroid that just is sitting in a forest of like pink. Like it looks like a giant. It looks like literally when you blow like a bubblegum balloon, like completely pink. But it's like a perfect spheroid of that that is just sitting there in the middle of this forest. And they like, you know, touch it and they get like warped into it. And inside is a like completely hermetically sealed crime scene of some kind. Like it's a crime scene from the Ministry of Morale. So of course it looks ridiculous because it has a bunch of toys everywhere that are like warning people to not come into the building instead of having like crime scene tape. They try to bust in. They get attacked by a bunch of robot sprites for a while. It's not terribly exciting. We just learned that one of the Stygius' magic powers is he can like sonic scream and explode things with his sonic voice, so that's cool and all. They realize after like looking at the place for a hot second that this is like Golden Blood and Fluttershy's like, I don't know what you call it, like honeymoon cabin basically. Like it has all of their things in it and a bunch of stuff from them, and it's very clearly like where they live together for a short amount of time. Oh man, so much of this chapter sucks. There's a lot of this chapter is cut with Blackjack like monologuing about like she wants to fuck this dude, but she doesn't want to because she knows that she'll have like a PTSD freakout and try to kill him, and she needs to get over that. So she wants to like baby step this thing the whole way, and with no consideration about how like Glory would really feel about this because like. Matriarchal society that all like treated men like second class citizens. She doesn't really consider the concept of a relationship between her and a man to be like the same thing as her relationship with Glory. But yeah, so she spends a bunch of time like worrying about like wanting to do this, and there's a lot of conversations with Stygius about it, and like Stygius is the most like considerate fucking character on the fucking earth about this whole situation. Where he's just like, okay, we can take this as slow as you want. Like, we don't have to worry about it. We can go as easy as you want to do it.
This is also really insulting to like how sexual trauma actually like works.
Yes,
that like. Anyway.
Yeah, you can't just fuck your trauma away like this.
Well, like that, like the desire wouldn't. Almost certainly wouldn't be there,
mm-hmm.
especially for this near stranger. Like it would probably be more a like perpetual like she would be endlessly keyed up by his presence. Like him being there would be tense. Him being like at any given moment not in at least her peripheral vision where she can like even
yes
or like. She should probably like panic every time like she knows that he is around, but she can't like immediately see him.
Yeah, it's a common theme, but yeah, very specifically, Somber doesn't really seem to understand the concept of like power imbalance in this sort of circumstance. Like again, the context is that like Stygius is the goodest boy in the world because he needs to be, because otherwise this story would be dire. Because he has a ton of like because he's a total unknown entity. Like. Like, it's not like someone she knows and can trust, but like the story acts as if he's someone that can be trusted. But like in the context of this, she has no reason to, and like has every reason to be terrified of him. But like, fucking whatever, who gives a shit? fuck. Also, so much about this is about Fluttershy and Goldenblood's backstory as well. Blackjack hallucinates herself as Goldenblood's, like, secretary, essentially, a woman named Psalm.
She truly has become Orb.
She has become Orb. She just orbs whenever she needs to.
She needs no contact with Orb to channel the Orb.
She just orbs whenever she's nearby an area that orbs would be present. But she imaginates herself as Psalm, who, like, clever listeners and people who've read about this before would know that, of the Macintosh Marauders, Psalm is one of them. So this is before the war blew out. And Psalm is discussing with Goldenblood after the attack on Littlehorn, which is what really kicked off the war into being really bad. Because the war was, like, trotting along for, like, close to 4 or 5 years before it got really bad when a school got bombed with a chemical agent that killed a bunch of people, which is what forced the whole thing into, like, the actual, like, hot war as opposed to cold war. That's just some history trivia from a setting that doesn't make any sense. But Goldenblood was there, and he was affected directly by the attack, and Psalm was also affected by it by being working there when it got attacked, so she decides to join the military. There's kind of a weird thing with Psalm in this that establishes that she's a unicorn that can't use magic, which I don't really know why that's brought up as a concept, but whatever. Goldenblood is revealed to have been the chemical agent that was being used to dirty bomb the school is the pink cloud that affected Canterlot, so Goldenblood got hit with the trace amounts of the Canterlot ghoulification thing, like that poison. So he like coughs out cloud now, but nobody knows what it is yet. But yeah, she snaps back to reality. BJ hymns and haws some more about having sex with Stygius, and he's like, and they talk about it, and he's like, you know, well, do you have someone special in your life? He writes on his chalkboard, and she's like, oh yeah, it's this girl I love. And he's like, oh, that, I guess that doesn't work out for me since I'm a dude and you're into Maris. And she's like, oh no, I'm into both. Like, it's the most clumsily, it's the one of the most clumsily ways I've ever seen someone ever say, hey, I'm bi. Like, I'm into both.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was elsewhere thinking about the climactic showdown of this entire story, wherein BJ flies in the sky and goes, no gun, Orb. And he just compresses into a sphere.
She compresses into a sphere, and the whole sky is just fucking Jack Kirby spheres. This is a Jack Kirby cosmos.
But why, Groot? We are Orb.
I hate that. But yeah, anyways, yeah, Blackjack is bi, but it's really awkward and clumsy about it because, like, straight writers are bad at writing bi characters. Shocker. Yeah.
Yarp.
Well, she's bi or pansexual. It's not really, like, established because it's, like...
It doesn't matter because it's not true.
Yeah. I mean,
by true, I mean, like... True in the sense of it passes by a plausible deniability. Like, it doesn't like ring true. Like, it's not like it's true within Somber's fiction, but Somber's fiction is poorly crafted and thus does not have the ring of a truth. It doesn't it doesn't fly. Like,
She doesn't not come across as believably queer, I guess, is the argument being made here by the both of us. But yeah, Blackjack goes through a really long sequence about her trying to, like, slowly untangle her brain to sleep. Because it's established before that Blackjack can't sleep because she's a robot. Like, she doesn't need to anymore, really. So she has to, like, go through this whole process of kind of, like, relearning how to fall asleep again. Which would be fine if it wasn't an excuse for another fucking memory orb. There are three of them in this fucking chapter alone. I thought we were
all orb.
We have become orb.
We have transcended the need for material orbs. The orb is inside us.
Like,
now.
I just keep imagining this, like, shit post of Blackjack in a T-pose, and, like, it's super JPEG scrambled, and, like, everything looks super deep-fried, and just this orb. But Blackjack imaginates herself as Psalm again. It's this big, long thing where she, like, imagines that all of the friends that she has are all these children in this backstory that doesn't really need to work this way because memory orbs are already established as a thing. But it's this incredibly long thing of lore that is so hacky and stupid is, I guess, the best way to describe it. It's this thing where, like, this is where it really goes into the deep territory of I don't care that this is a fanfic of a fanfic. I'm going to make this my own thing. And, like, that's fine, I suppose. Like, fanfiction doesn't really have to adhere to anything. Like, Sombra doesn't answer to anybody.
Very clearly, and to the story's detriment.
It's still impossible to not feel wildly disrespectful to basically knock everybody else's toys over and go, here's my OC, Blackjack, and she's the strongest thing in the universe, and also every single character is critical to the, like, and this thing is critical to the story in ways that none of yours are, and it's just like, come on. Like, I don't know, there's a kind of, like, there's a certain unspoken contract when it comes to, like, derivative works, in this case, that, like, it comes across as hacky and garbage to announce that your own OCs are somehow more critically important and special and great than the core cast in some way. And
I don't know. I can't be too upset because I feel like we already well and crossed that Rubicon when my OC Ultra guy, Mayat was Superman, and he was so much better at it. That
I mean, yeah. I'm bringing
Superman
up
got kryptonite poisoning, and that Ultra guy cured it with his Ultra powers.
And then they met out again. But so the I guess the distinction here is it's not just Blackjack anymore. It's the whole fucking story. Because we get a big, long backstory thing where Golden Blood, who is a teacher at this point still in this memory, is giving a long lecture about how magic works and establishes, like, a complicated, like, historical thing where, like, basically before a certain point in the story, all crystals and didn't have magic in them. Then an event happened, and then suddenly all crystals after that point in history have magic in them in some way and are fundamentally changed. And, like, the best guess is something happened that wiped out a whole civilization and also caused these crystals to have magic in them. Like, it's a fundamental, no, this is how everything works now, that is... So, like, when I complain about how bad the story is, like, the story has an infectious, plague-like quality to it, where it doesn't have any care for any aspect of the original story's, like, metaphysics or writing in any real significant way. A lot of people read this and think that it's canon, and therefore accept this dumb shit that gets added in as rote law, and have to accept that it's part of it. This story actively makes the entire community's side stories worse by its inclusion. Because it establishes so many rules that are just not real, but you would... Because it presents itself from a perspective of authority, you can be like, okay, all right, that makes sense as a concept, but it's not in the original story at all. Like, none of the zebra stuff is. You wouldn't know that if you just, like, if you knew this community at all.
Sombra and his crew of idiots are fucking barely literate from what I've seen. And so, like, if anything, like, we've been pretty salty today, but I have to say, this is really inspiring. Like, I don't have to try nearly as hard as I do. Like, I get caught up real easy on, like, overanalyzing my own work and, like, not wanting to, like, take a wasted, like, first few steps, and, like, pre-production all of my ideas to hell and back, but I don't need to. Like, you can be fucking, like, just type with your face, and you can...
Apparently that works. But yeah, I'm spending a lot of time on this just to, like, really establish the fact that, like, this story is gone off of the deep end in ways that, like, I can't even really, like, explain very well. It is it is no longer fan fiction of fan fiction. It's its own territory. It's slipped into its own complicated.
It is a cancer. It is a separate organism that preys upon a host entity.
It's the prequels. It ruins everything previously established by its inclusion. So the only thing.
Welcome to the Star Wars prequels of fan fiction.
It goes out of its way to that's actually like the best metaphor I can think of. It goes out of its way to recontextualize everything. Everything, absolutely everything, gets its own somber certified spin on it. And so much of it is in service to one of the worst villains I've ever seen in a story. It is so deliberately over the top and universe destroyingly critical. It is almost literally as if this story is set in a wasteland story, and the primary villain of this fucking tale is essentially Galactus, and that has no compat, like that, those tones don't work together, like those things don't mesh well together at all. So there's like this story goes out of its way to set up so much metaphysics and science and fiction and backstory to make the bad guy of the story make sense, and nobody likes the villain of the story. One of the hugest base breakers of this entire piece of work is the primary villain of the story so stupid that most people just walk away from this.
Let's we're getting far ahead of ourselves.
Yes, we're getting very far ahead of ourselves. But just
spoilers.
Keep that in mind that this establishment of weird proto horse history where crystals are magic for no reason is to lead up to a ridiculous villain that's dumb. Just keep that in mind. Put a pin in that for later.
Okay. All right. Now I'm reassured. I was sort of on the fence of like, I don't know if this is a mistake, like giving us this like big like teaser of future events that I could be really angry about in the moment when it was revealed. But like, as it stands, now I'm less bored and annoyed, but
you will be mad all over again, trust me.
That's a wonderful like poster line. You will be mad all over again.
That's the whole story. Anyways, yeah, I gotta hustle along. There isn't that much more to this anyways, really. We got a bunch of bat pony lore that doesn't really matter. It's just that they're all like Luna's guards were all bat ponies in the one episode, the Halloween episode that she first shows up in. So like, Somber, it just evolves that into an entire backstory about them being like weird magic bat ponies with shadow magic and all this dumb shit. It's also more of Blackjack working herself up to fucking Stygius, and she really, really establishes that she just like doesn't understand monogamy like at all. It's a completely alien concept to her, because like. When they find notes from Golden Blood talking about like how his relationship with Fluttershy crumbled over some mistake that he did, and it was related to him like in the throes of passion accidentally calling out the name of a different woman, and like Blackjack doesn't understand why that would be a problem, which like is a little.
Blackjack has been exposed to the outside world for like for the months. Better part of a year.
Yeah, for months now, and even then, like. The concept of like not having like a particular person they're particularly into and not being like jealous of other people is really odd. Even in a weird hippy dippy totalitarian fascist state where like everyone is all fucking each other in Stable 99, it's still like I don't know. This monogamy shit, like this not understanding monogamy shit, this default state polyamory doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. Like I've joked about this before that Somber doesn't understand polyamory and like. It's so much.
I
so
think it's to vilify polyamory. I think
maybe
it's to like this is Sombra's like Aldous Huxley like moment of like, look at the damage done to this horse by sexual degeneracy.
Yeah, like I can't even necessarily be sure of that just because it's so like it's so weird. Like it's just such a like it's such a.
It's the only working hypothesis I can.
Yeah, like my suggestion, like my thought is just he's just dumb and doesn't understand, as opposed to malicious. But it could be both. It could be both. Probably is both. Okay. So, because Goldblood was like a weird like rock horse, he was like really into stones and rocks. He has a bunch of them on display. They have like a piece of star metal and a piece of moonstone, which is like is what was inside of the Trottenheimer's Folly bullets, the silver bullets. And so Blackjack gets the great idea of what happens if I put these two together. You know, these things that have triggered a nuclear explosion so violent that they've been killing me for the last couple of fucking the last few months. I should hammer them together to see what happens. So of course they explode, knocking her out of the building like a moron. And then she finds the star metal again, and it's like sizzled and melting in the wall. But when it melts, it like releases like orbs, and the orbs float into Blackjack, and she gets memories.
Oh God!
And they're like really, really old memories. Like they're like pretty stale memories of like of Luna becoming Nightmare Moon, which is a thing from before the original story. It's like 1,000 years in the past or whatever. So from the premise of this story, it'd be 1,200 years ago, I guess.
So when you said stale memories, like the first thing that came to mind is like a faint impression of doing Sudoku on the toilet. like that time that, you know, you pulled out the laundry and then realized it was somebody else's laundry and there was a whole thing.
It's stale. These orbs don't have that crunch I need. Fuck. Yeah, it's establishing a thing for later, but it's stupid. Oh, man, I don't want to, like... I'm just going to go through this really fast. And it's important to note that we on the Fanfic podcast are hilarious degenerates. Like, I myself draw a lot of porn for a living. It's kind of my whole thing. But, like, the vivid detail in which these two horses fucking is so... It's graphic and terrible at the same time. Like, it's graphic and also, like, clearly uncomfortable with the work that it's trying to do. Because they, like, settle down on, like to fuck on this bed that was, like, Golden Blood's bed. And
the author's bed.
My pony OC and her hot boyfriend are gonna fuck on my bed. Which is a race car.
You fucking know it.
There's also a bunch of PTSD freakout from Blackjack, and it's a lot of, like, Blackjack getting fucked and simultaneously trying not to kill him. I'm not...
What?
Well, she's, like... She's, like, freaking out, but she's trying to, like, keep it together so that she can do this. It's real uncomfortable and awful, isn't it? Noted rape victim and raper. Reaper, rapist, Blackjack.
Rapist is the
I'm not gonna go into I am not gonna go into any detail, but the phrase invading member is used. Which I would have.
And this has like a lasting impact on this. Like, again, we gotta go back to the fact that this is like widely read in a whole community of people. And their problem with it is that it gets too anime.
Yes. And not invading member.
God! Oh, this is actually...
This is awful.
Yeah, so... Okay. Seriously, what happens next? I want to move on to anything else.
Well, like the rest of this is Blackjack talking about how rad and awesome fucking dudes is.
And this is an influential text.
Yeah, it is. Let me see if I can find the actual, like...
That's the most galling, no? I don't think that is necessary. What happens next? What is the next event to occur? Blackjack says those words, and then...
There's a lot of jokes about them fucking multiple times.
God! Damn it!
I'm sorry, this is really what's happening right now. It just keeps going. At some point, she has another memory spell. Oh, I remember what it is. Decides to, like, go have a bath to wash all the funk off.
He won't let us go!
Yeah, he won't.
He won't let it be over!
There's also, like, a pretty gross sequence where Blackjack is thinking about how monogamy is dumb. She ponders about how ethical it would be to have a family, given that she probably lives forever now, which is almost an interesting idea, but it's mired in so much garbage right now. And she thinks about how that would even work out with Glory, would one of us carry the children, like how that would go down. There's a lot of time spent on babies, which is like will become an inevitable major theme in the story. Get ready for that. Yeah, she has a memory orb at some point. It's hard to tell when this is happening. Where it's Fluttershy and Golden Blood long after the relationship has fallen apart in the rain, arguing about mega spells because she wants to trade the mega spells to the zebras, which is what ends up causes the war to happen. And Golden Blood is there to try to talk her out of it, which obviously doesn't work as we know because the whole war happened, you know, the apocalypse occurred. But anyways, well, Blackjack is in a post-coital bath. She decides to listen to a recording she finds of Golden Blood.
It's not enough to orb into it. Now we've got an audio log.
God, this audio log is
at least
worst.
It isn't. Oh no,
it's not okay. The worst. Okay, so what it actually is, it's not the worst, but it's still frustrating to me. So it's Golden Blood revealing a bunch of stuff that wouldn't be recorded. Like I don't understand why it's in a recording, but it's Golden Blood like.
Log date 3/23. Blackjack, if you're listening to this, it must be that you've just fucked.
Oh, man.
How was it? I hope you used the dildo that I left on the counter.
Golden Blood is, like, talking about with somebody unnamed about, like, how he blew up his relationship by accident. And how, like, Fluttershy miscarried over finding out, over this whole, like, Golden Blood call like crying out the wrong name during sex, like apparently like broke her heart so hard that she had a miscarriage and it killed the child, which we also know is not true because the child ended up becoming Psycho Chai. But like
I'm gonna wander into traffic.
like there's so much wrong with that, but I still think the funniest thing about that is like did this dude like watch the show like at all? Like, I don't know what it is about this fandom that, like, assumed that Fluttershy would be so fragile that this would happen. Like, there is a...
It's because they don't... Subtext isn't a thing. They do, like, they, like... There's a bunch of episodes about how, like, no, actually, Fluttershy is... Has a very iron resolute will when it like matters. Like when like she is extremely shy because she's terrified of like doing harm to like others, but is internally quite resolute when she cares about a thing. But no, because they want the like simpering waifu slash like dangerous yandere, I guess. I don't know. I feel sick.
I do too.
Last week, somebody asked me if I'm holding up, I'm doing okay, and like last week, it was completely true that yeah, no, this story's dumb, but it's not like it's meaningfully impacting me. This week, that's not so true. Like this has actually been pretty traumatic. This is so fucking bad. Like it disgusts me.
I think that these last two these two chapters. Are our shark jump, I think. Like it's
Jesus.
Like it's been shark jumpy for now. Like it's we have been wading through an ocean of sharks, but it's only now have we lifted off into space. Cause it never really like comes back down from here.
Man, it's just one hit after the other.
Like, yeah. I'm almost done. We're not quite there.
And it's fractal in my contempt for it. Like it's fractally bad. Like it's some sort of grotesque gem that reveals a new facet of grotesquery at every angle. The light really hits it in just such a way to really make you feel sick inside.
But yeah,
it's a gem, is what I'm saying.
Yes,
it's a jewel of fiction.
It's an orb. It's a perfect crystalline orb. But yeah, and this entire chapter just exists to, like, make Golden Blood seem more sympathetic. Because Blackjack comes away with this thinking about, like, it's like, I came here today thinking about Golden Blood the monster, but I left knowing Golden Blood the pony. Even here, a teacher, a lover, even a father. I didn't want to think of him like that. I wanted to hate him. Think of him as a monster who would contemplate killing Celestia. I hated the idea of him as a victim. Screw up. Normal. I don't know which was more terrifying, a ridiculously intelligent master plotter with a secret ministry under his command, or somebody who is all that and who could fuck it up too.
Here's the thing that's totally unrelated, complete tangent, unrelated to anything we just heard. I don't know why I'm even bringing it up, but here, let me waste your time for a second. So there's a fairly popular YouTuber. I don't know how actually popular he is, but he is extremely well-funded, who a while back did a little bit of a slip of a tongue, a bit of a Freudian slip, gave away a little bit of his fucking game. He pretends to be a centrist, pretends to be a liberal. A little while ago, he slipped and said, "It's so unfit, like, so many are comparing Trump to a certain World War II hero, but, like, I'm above that sort of thing." Certain World War II hero.
Yes.
Trump gets compared to often. So, yeah, Golden Blood, pre-apocalypse war hero. In that same fucking vein, he's a war criminal? Yes! It's really been hammered home. This is a fascist monster.
Yeah.
And now the audience is Summer's trying to lull the audience into rehabilitating him without denying any of the explicitly fascist stuff he's done up to this point. But no, a guardian and a teacher. He really did mean well at the end. Stalin was right to drive those tanks into.
Yeah. Well, we're almost done. We got one
this
more.
This chapter, don't quit.
Yeah, it's body blow after body blow after body blow. Oh, my liver is sore and very bruised. But yeah, and then the cliffhanger of the chapter is I guess they heard the explosion because a bunch of Steel Rangers show up, but they're the ones that are loyal to Steel Rain because he also shows up. Bum bum bum.
Why and how is he alive? No. No. No, Somber. So fucking. Okay, Fi. Is there anything better we could be doing right now?
Shit. I don't know. Go.
If not, no. Okay. There's nothing better we can do. You can get our fucking information in the information box.
Oh, there's one thing I wanted to go before Weird brought this up is there's also a section that, because I'm reading this on the website, there's author's notes that I've been going through. But the author notes are pretty bog standard most of the time, but they contain some fun kernels of dialogue that I find are hilariously bad. Because he just thanks all of his incredibly shitty editors. Apparently, Bronode of these, I think it was, is an absolute chud, and that's fucking hilarious to me. So fuck that guy entirely. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to disparage your dumbass name. But my favorite line in this is, "Thanks to Elucia for helping me try to get Blackjack's psychology down. Girl brains are hard." Which stuck out so hard to me. That was such a, oh, you're just the worst hack of all time.
Right down to the office notes. Just right down into this chapter's very bones.
Girl brains are hard. I'm sorry, I was too busy baking shoes.
We're into book 4, and he, doesn't understand his narrator! Point of view character. He doesn't have a strong insight into who they are because girl brains are weird.
Girl brains are icky.
Email me at WeirdingtonEsquire.
You can find me at ThouArtFine, but I'm incredibly
WeirdingtonESQ.
Yeah.
This has all been the worst mistake.